today as we come to the table.
Neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, it's God's footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. I love that definition of Jesus, the city of Jerusalem. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. They would swear by their own bodies and their own head. He says, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Again, the principle is, be a man or woman of your word. Simply stand on your word. And why? Because God is a God of his word. And he said, because I'm a God of my word, you need to be a God of your word. And stop swearing by everything. Just say what you mean.
I swear. In other words, I promise or I guarantee. You've probably said one at some point. In today's message, Pastor Mark speaks about what it truly means to swear on something, whether it be sworn on your heart, your mother's grave, or even your life itself. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Pastor Mark showcases old rabbis who would constantly swear on behalf of the Bible, even if they were either wrong or downright lying. What does it show for the thing you swear on if you're wrong? If you swear on the Bible, then go on to tell a complete lie, or even just a half-truth, that reflects pretty poorly on the Word of God then, doesn't it? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. With today's edition of Come to the Table.
Praise the Lord. If you got your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 5. As we continue on through Matthew and looking at, again, part 3 of God's standards of righteousness, and as you guys are finding your way to Matthew chapter 5, I want to read a few verses here to kind of lay the foundation before we pray. Starting in verse 31 of chapter 5, Jesus says this, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this portion of scripture that you give us today, the instruction, Lord, that you give to your church. It's so, Lord, important and so clear. And yet, Lord, many of these things we're going to look at today are very difficult with the normal mindset. And I pray now that you would help us to hear as disciples. I pray, God, that you would help us to hear, Lord, with your voice and your spirit of love and grace and mercy as we cover some difficult topics and difficult subjects. There are no doubt many here in this room, Lord, right now that are hurting from the very first thing we're going to talk about this morning. And I pray that this will be a time of not hurting, but healing. Not a time of condemnation, but a time of restoration. Lord, not a time of further confusion, but a time of understanding. And so again, we give this time to you. And as always, Lord, we pray that you would now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, be our teacher this morning. We thank you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we get into this passage today, we're right in the middle, if you're a member of, really not even quite the middle. We'll be at the middle by the time we finish chapter 5, maybe a little further than that to get in the middle, of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And this is where Jesus had gone up on the hillside, called his disciples to himself. And note that, this wasn't meant to be for the general population. This was meant to be for disciples. And so God calls us as disciples to a higher standard. And he brought his disciples up there and began to teach them, listen, the world may do it this way, but here's what I want you to do. And we talked about how the law was hard. Jesus made it even harder, if you will. If you look at the Sermon on the Mount, it's much more difficult than even following the law. But what he's saying is, it is not done by your power. It's done by the power of the Holy Spirit. As Paul says later on in the New Testament, it's apart from the law where we find righteousness in God. So it's not through the law, it's apart. But Jesus shows us that it's actually a higher standard because it's the standard of the heart. And we're going to be covering several issues today. One is going to be looking at marriage and divorce. That will be, again, a difficult subject for many of us in this room. We're going to deal with it truthfully, but we're going to deal with it in love, straightforwardly. Again, we'll be Jesus forbidding oaths. We'll talk about oaths, going the second mile, and then finish today with loving your enemies. And all of these are challenging. All of these are hard. All of these are difficult, but these are things that the Lord had to lay out. And again, the reason the Lord laid them out so clearly and sometimes so straightforwardly is we are the example to the world of His standard. And whatever our standard is, the world is going to fall below that standard. So if we start accepting the standards of the world in any of these topics or subjects, and we start watering ourselves down, it kind of comes down to the salt losing its flavor, the light not shining in the darkness. And so the Lord is going to, again, have that same standard of being salt, that same standard of being light, as He looks at marriage and divorce. Now, let me just say as we get into this, there's probably quite a few of you in here that have been divorced and remarried. This is not intended to hurt that Jesus shares. It's intended to heal, as we said. It's not intended to condemn, as I prayed. It's intended to restore and to give understanding. And for those of you that find yourself in a situation, even as we go through this and you find, you know what, maybe I did something wrong, the Lord is the God of mercy and forgiveness. And we'll talk about that as we get there. But at the same time, He wants us to understand for those who have not yet headed into divorce, for those who might be getting ready to divorce, or maybe for those who had a divorce and now are in the consequences of that, how to restore their life and get back to a situation where God's blessing flows in the life. That was the heart behind this, and that is what the Lord is going to be sharing today. Well, let's jump right in. And notice here it says, Jesus jumps again from subject to subject to subject as He works through the Sermon on the Mount, and now He comes to divorce. He says there in verse 31, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Again, that was very common in that day. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Wow, very straightforward. Jesus goes right to the point and says, if nothing but sexual immorality is a reason for divorce. Now, this would be expanded somewhat throughout the rest of Scripture, and we'll talk about some of that. This is the foundation of His guideline for divorce. There is one other that God lists, and I think possibly two others that fall into a different category we'll talk about in just a moment. But why the Lord so straightforward, why the Lord so what some might see as firm in this area, again, remember, this is God's standard of righteousness, and He's teaching it to His church, the disciples, which are the ones that carry out that standard. And so the Lord pretty much straightforwardly says, this is the main standard, this is what it's about. Now, we need some background to understand why this would have been so shocking to them in their day. And by the way, it's shocking to many people who hear this today that that is God's standard. Because as you know, divorce today is very easy to come by. We use all types of different reasons for divorce. I think the one that we probably hear the most or that I hear the most today is, well, we're not compatible. Well, the Bible doesn't say that incompatibility is a reason for divorce. And the problem is when you start lowering God's standard for divorce, it starts happening more regularly and more easily. And so again, the Lord wants to keep the standard up there and to put the standard in place. And again, we'll talk about how He deals with that in His mercy for those that have been in that situation, whether biblical or unbiblical divorce. God is here in mercy for you today. And there is a biblical and unbiblical divorce. Now, this may surprise some of you, but believe it or not, you say, well, God doesn't really understand what it's like for me to go through what I was going through and to have a divorce, etc. The Bible says that God Himself divorced the nation of Israel when they continued on in their spiritual adultery. Year after year after year after year, God spoke, sent prophets to them, kept reaching out to them. They kept committing spiritual adultery and all their idols, all their false gods. And it says that God gave them a certificate of divorce. So God actually knows what it feels like to be divorced. But again, it fell under the guidelines of what God accepts as divorce. Obviously, it couldn't be physical in His state because of the spiritual connection, but of the immorality, sexual immorality, and the idolatry that was going on with the nation. And so God understands what we're saying, but this would have been a shocking statement in that day because, again, there were two main schools of thought. There was the school of Shammai, Rabbi Shammai and Rabbi Hillel. And people pretty much broke up into those two different groups. The smaller group was Rabbi Shammai. Now, why was it smaller? Because it was the conservative group. It's the one that pretty much said what Jesus was saying. There's no reason for divorce except for sexual immorality. You can imagine that wasn't exactly the most popular of the opinions because in that day, divorce was rampant. There was another opinion, Hillel, and this was the one that was popular that most people adhered to because it fit what they wanted more in their flesh, if you will, apart from God's word. And that was the liberal side, and that was you can divorce for any and every reason. As a matter of fact, if your wife cooks the eggs wrong, you can divorce her. If you find a more godly woman than your wife, you can leave her for that more godly woman. I mean, the list went on about what they allowed. You can imagine which group was larger and why. And so when Jesus said this, they're going, oh my goodness, the rabbis teach this. We know about Shammai, but Hillel says that anything goes, and everybody was getting divorces and all this. No doubt there were some that are in that crowd, like this morning, who had been through divorce. And so God's heart was not to condemn. God's heart was not to tear them to pieces. God's heart was to love them and to restore them because divorce does such damage. Now, if you've been through a divorce, you already know what I'm saying. I've never been through a divorce in that sense, but again, I know from other people's lives and those that I counsel, it causes great damage. And at the time that it happens, it seems like the only way out. But the damage it does between individuals and their relationship to God, the children, just everything that happens, it does so much damage. You know, I used to read years ago where the Bible says that the Lord said that if we have a divorce, it covers our garments with violence. And I would think, how in the world does it cover our garments with violence? I couldn't imagine in my mind. For years, I struggled to understand that. I just said, okay, Lord, you said it. And so I believe it. Maybe it's something in the spiritual realm. It's obviously something I'm not getting and understanding. You won't find any real explanation in the commentaries that are out there that I've been able to find. However, I was one time speaking to someone that was going through divorce. And they began to share with me what they were going through. And they said this, you know what? I don't want the divorce. I hate this divorce. I'm trying to do things in a godly way, and she's the one pursuing it. I'm not. But as we get back and forth and just dividing up the house, talking about the kids, talking about all that goes with tearing apart this whole thing, it's just we're cutting each other constantly. She's cutting me. I'm cutting her. It's cutting me. It's like we have blood all over us. And a light went on. I said, Lord, that's what you're talking about, isn't it? When you go through divorce, everybody is slicing and cutting each other, typically so much that it covers our garments with violence. And so the Lord is saying, look, I want to spare you that. Now, for those of you that have already done that, God is going to bring words of healing, and that's my prayer and my hope, and words of restoration. It's not a hopeless situation where you are, but at the same time, the Lord speaks very firmly about it because it has to be something that if it hasn't happened yet, can be stopped. And so that's why he says, unless there's sexual immorality. Now, is that the ultimate end? Only sexual immorality? Does it go beyond that? Well, remember, we have to look at all the Bible to get the full picture of any one subject. And as we look at all of the Bible, we find that God, through Paul, the Holy Spirit, expanded it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 when he said that abandonment of an unbeliever is also a biblical reason for divorce. This is what it says in verses 13 through 15. He said, and a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. That is, the saved one draws the other one to the Lord. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they're holy. That is, if at least one parent in the relationship is saved, your children are under that covering until the age of accountability, and say the rapture were to take place, then they have their place in heaven. He goes on, he says, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. In other words, if there's an unbeliever and they abandon and leave, God doesn't expect you to stay forever single the rest of your life. There is a biblical reason for that on the unbeliever as well. There is also one other area that is a biblical principle that I think under certain circumstances apply, and that is if a spouse is under the danger of imminent death or great bodily harm. And it talks about that in the scripture as well. Those that would do bodily harm or murder are considered criminals and are to be locked up, which in essence is to protect society. And in that case, I believe there would be exceptions going down that line. So again, it's not just completely cut and dry with that one, but there's not much wiggle room at all. And the reason the Lord didn't give a lot of wiggle room, such as incompatibility or other things like that, is because he knew that the moment we go through a difficult time, many of us are going to be looking for a way out. Listen, newsflash, and it won't be a newsflash for those of you that have been married for any length of time. Sometimes marriage is really hard, and sometimes marriage can get really dark and difficult. Everyone goes through hard times in their marriage. It's called making a commitment and living life together. And if we can buckle down and hunker down and say, Lord, I'm going to commit to you and my vow that I made to you. I'm going to commit to my spouse and the vow that I made to them. I'm going to push through. God will bless that on the other side. I don't know how long that takes, but I believe that God will give grace and bless through to the other side to not only rescue the hurt and the pain that will come from that divorce, but again, to be a witness and testimony and even be used for ministry for those after you. So the bottom line is that, again, it's not something to be taken lightly. The Lord didn't take it lightly. He didn't make it easy to get out of. And so he hits it really straightforwardly and really hard with his disciples. But again, with their mindset, and even with us, this would have been a hard thing to hear. And some of you this morning might say, well, this is a little bit of a hard thing to hear. Let me just say this. God loves you. And listen to what he says now. This will make it a little bit harder, but I'm going to add some sugar to it when we're done. As the Bible, as not the Bible, but as people say, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, right? We'll soften it and stay to the truth on this. Notice what he says. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. He's saying, if there's an unbiblical divorce and you join into a new marriage with them, he's saying that's sin against God. That's entering into adultery. Now, some of you might be saying right now, oh my goodness, I've already done that. Listen, are you in a state of permanent adultery? Absolutely not. The Bible says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, there no doubt will be some consequences, but it's not God chastising you. God doesn't chastise his kids. God loves his kids and forgives them. It's simply the order of the universe will bring consequences. King David experienced this because remember when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, he asked forgiveness, and the prophet came to David and said, David, God has forgiven you. And I want to say this, if you've entered into an unbiblical marriage and you've asked God to forgive you, God has forgiven you. You are forgiven. You're clean as far as he's concerned, and now you simply start from this point on moving forward in what God has for you. But then he went on and said this. He said, David, there's going to be consequences. And some of you already experienced those. You're going to realize that. It's not God's chastisement. It's simply what goes with the territory. And that's why God, again, speaks so firmly about it here. The Lord does, trying to prevent us from making that mistake. And I would encourage you this as well. If you are interested in someone that has been married or you've been married, you might want to examine yourself and say, have I been biblically divorced? Well, I've got the paperwork, Pastor Mark. I went and got a divorce. Note this. If God sees you joined in heaven, the paperwork on earth doesn't mean anything. All it means is a legal piece of paper. God still sees you as married to that person. That's why it's adultery when you remarry. Now, once you remarry, that first marriage is now annulled in God's eyes. That's done. You don't divorce the second one and go back to the first one, all right? That makes things worse. But what he's saying is it's not because of a piece of paper down here that says whether someone is divorced. It's whether or not it's right in God's eyes. And the reason this is so key is you don't want to enter into a relationship or a marriage where you know you're going in unbiblically, because all that's going to do is add more difficulty and more consequence. I can tell you there have been times, not that many over the years, and it's very difficult as a pastor to do, where I've had people sitting across me and they're asking for counsel and they're wanting to get married. And by the time I get both of their stories, I say, guys, you can't get married biblically. Now, you can go get married, but you'll be committing adultery because you're not free to remarry. And God does that for a number of reasons. One is oftentimes it drives them to go back to try to restore what was already there. And also it keeps the testimony of God and the picture that God is giving of the church and his bride. Remember, there's something much larger than our marriages that God is doing. God is showing a picture of the church and his bride. Aren't you glad that when we are unfaithful to the Lord for extended periods of time, he doesn't say, I'm divorcing you. He says, no, I'm here. I'm here for eternity. We're going to work this out. It's interesting. We had a wonderful wedding in our backyard last night. It was an Egyptian wedding. And I don't know if you've ever been to an Egyptian wedding. Probably not. Maybe some of you have. But it's quite festive. We had a big tent set up and all the Egyptian music and everybody dancing and all. It was a blast. It was a really wonderful time. The food is fantastic. Everything's great. But that couple that got married, you know, when they got married, I don't have to say to them, guys, look, just enjoy each other for the next few months to a year and just really enjoy each other. They're going to do that without me telling them to do that. But the reality is, over time, things are going to get difficult. And the counsel that has to be given is, when things get difficult, don't just throw in the towel. Trust God. Cry out to God. Do everything you can other than the biblical definition that's here. And I'll even go farther than that. I do believe that even when there's sexual immorality, God says, yes, you're free in that. But God's not upset if you work even through that. And so it's showing this picture of Christ to his bride, the church. And again, sparing us all the damage and the harm that happens in our lives personally. And again, the testimony of the Lord. But at the same time, I want you to realize, if you fit in any of those categories and you ask God to forgive you, you do not leave here condemned. You do not leave her as an adulterer. You leave her forgiven and washed clean. And yes, there no doubt will be some consequences, but you're a part of the family and you're a part of the kingdom and you're forgiven by the Lord. You need to know that, because that ministry needs to take place in your heart. This is for restoration. This is for rebuilding. This is for, again, not condemnation, but the Lord lays it out straightforwardly. So there it is on marriage and divorce. Now he shifts gears and jumps into taking oaths. Notice what he says. Again, you have heard it said of those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. Now, again, the Lord's not refuting the Bible. He's not adding to it or changing things. He's simply saying, you're hearing from your rabbis certain things that they're teaching wrong, and now I'm going to teach you the right way. So they say this, maybe even using the word of God, but it's wrong. I say this because I'm going to teach you properly the word of God and the right way to do it. So you've heard it said, they say you shall not swear falsely, but perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Now let me say this, they were swearing by everything. Notice he goes on, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, it's God's footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. I love that definition of Jesus, the city Jerusalem. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. They would swear by their own bodies and their own head. He says, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Again, the principle is, be a man or woman of your word. Simply stand on your word. And why? Because God is a God of his word. And he said, because I'm a God of my word, you need to be a God of your word. And stop swearing by everything. Just say what you mean. You know, it's interesting. They would swear by the altar. They would swear by heaven. They would swear by everything in that day. And the rabbi said, you can pretty much swear by whatever you want, just not by God. Don't swear by the name of God, but you can swear by all these other things. And supposedly that was okay and was binding. And then what would happen is they would lie. And when they lied, they would get out of it because people let them by at the moment, but they didn't have to follow through. That's why the Lord said at the end, anything other than a yes and a yes and a no and no, he said, it's going to be the evil one here. Again, you know, you're going to be used of the evil one, something that the enemy, you know, deceived or for whatever is more of these, he said specifically, is from the evil one. Causes you to lie. And so in order to keep from lying, just tell the truth. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And God is growing me in this. Not that I lie to anybody, but again, I think it's very easy for all of us to sometimes come up with excuses that aren't exactly lies, but we know we're really in one way being deceptive in the background. And God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be up front. I've shared with some of you before a friend that I used to have, and I still a friend, but I don't see them anymore. But she would have people that would go, by the way, this is not my wife. I have to clarify these things because oftentimes I'll say something. Tracy goes, they thought that was me. This is not Tracy. But this is a friend that I had. And again, whenever they were on the phone and somebody kept talking and talking and talking and talking, they would go, and she would just ring the doorbell and go, oh, the doorbell rang, right? Well, is that true? Yeah, the doorbell rang, but nobody was there. And they would say, oh, okay, well, then I'll let you go. Don't worry about it. Or maybe like the time, and this is probably one my mom will remember because she's here this morning. My dad was very witty and quick on his feet. And again, we had this lady that used to make us pies. He was a pastor, and she would make us these pies. And please take this the right way when I say it, but she wasn't the greatest pie maker. So we didn't like to eat her pies. They were kind of given to us, and we didn't really eat them because we couldn't. And she gave one of those pies again, and Dad's greeting everybody at the door, you know, the church where everybody would go out and say goodbye to the pastor as they're leaving. And I'm nearby, and Dad's talking, and all of a sudden here comes this lady, and we always know she's going to say, how did you like it? And it's always kind of an awkward situation. She walks up, and she says, so how did you like the pie? He says, oh, I can tell you, a pie like that doesn't last long around our house. And I'm thinking, that's quick. That's witty. That's smart, all right? But at the same time, that's we laugh at that because that's quick and that's witty. But we have to be careful in other areas that we don't go beyond that and actually make up lies to get out of situations because that's of the evil one.
Well, our time at the table of God's Word has come to a close for today. But seize this moment to draw closer to Jesus right now. Will you come and sit at the teacher's feet with us? You know, Matthew was close to Jesus. He actually walked with him, talked with him, ate with him, and traveled with him. And in this verse-by-verse series through the Gospel of Matthew, Pastor Mark is taking us up close and personal with Jesus and the disciples who followed him. And together, we'll see Jesus tell stories, perform miracles, astound the people, and frustrate the religious leaders. We'll witness Jesus dying on the cross, Experience the despair and fear the disciples felt that day too. And then we'll see him rise triumphantly from the grave. To listen again or share with a friend today's message, along with many others, can be found at thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Once you're there, you simply need to click on the Come to the Table tab. Listen, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out and make sure you're staying grounded in God's Word by reading the Bible every day. Allow Jesus to grow you as you draw close to Him daily and be willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared our next verse-by-verse review of the book of Matthew. So put your bookmark there and make sure to join us here the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.